Day to you all. Happy Mother's Day to every woman in this room who is a mother figure or a spiritual mother. We're so glad that you're here with us so that we can take some time to honour and to celebrate you for all that you do in our lives and in our worlds. Now, if I haven't had the chance to meet you before, excuse me, I'm just going to cough. So awkward. Everyone just like look to the right. Like, I just want to see every's head that way. You also, like, appreciate that. Okay, so if I haven't met you before, my name is Katie. I'm one of the pastors here at Life BC along with my husband, Ricky, and I, too, am a mama. I have two kids, Sanaa and Ruben. Ruben is here with me and Ricky this morning. He's an absolute legend, coolest kid, best hair, best style, knows exactly how he wants to get his fresh cuts, and we're proud of him. Awesome child. And our daughter Sanaa... who's not here with us today. She's at a training squad, so you won't see her for the next few Sundays, but she's amazing. We love her. We're proud of her. A few other things about me is my laundry is full. I don't know about everyone else here with all the rain. My laundry is full of clothes to wash. Hopefully Ricky will do it this week. And our dishes, our sink is full this morning as we left. I don't know about every other person just to get here. Real talk. So that's mamahood, and that's who we are, and we're very real. So these phenomenal women in just a moment are going to share some stories. But like every woman in the world, we just want to take a time to remember and celebrate women, women who both mend and weave social fabrics in our communities. And so at Life BC, we want to celebrate the women, honour them, thank them for all that they do, because what they do, a lot of it goes unseen, but God sees. But even though sometimes they just get stuff done, we want to say thank you and we want to say that we see you. But we're also very acutely aware that at this time, when it hits May, every single time of the year, it comes around that date again, it can be a painful time for women in this space. And I came across a post that Skye Gwynn put up this week, and it was a narrative that really resonated with me to be able to share with you today. And it was from an author called, I'm going to get her name wrong, I'm terrible at pronouncing names, her name is Sarah Haggerty. And as I had a little quick chat with Skye, she shared about how this author has real lived experiences around loss, and as much around Mother's Day as we want to honour and celebrate, we just want to take a moment and create space for those who haven't had a wonderful experience. So I just want to read you something that she wrote, and it says this. There is a woman who will stay at home from church this Sunday or today to avoid the fanfare, the reminder of what she doesn't have and desperately desires. There is also a single mum with no husband or partner to rally her children around her to celebrate. There is also a woman who has lost her baby this year or even years before. There's that mum. And I think of the mother with a wayward child for whom Mother's Day makes her wonder if she's less of a mother than the women standing beside her with roses. Or the adoptive mum fielding the layers of emotions on this day. And also my mind wanders to the daughter without a mother. So how do we celebrate Mother's Day when we actually feel the limitations that it brings? The fence line keeping us in or keeping us out? In our Western world, while our Western world celebrates, some cry in the shadows, but God sees in those shadows. He sees you. And he carries you, and he carries your loss more than you do. His heart beats for your ache. He is nearest to you today, and every hurt that you feel in these shadows is seen by your Father who sees in secret. So as you shrink back into those shadows, may you sense his gentle seeing eyes into the darkness, his whisper in the ear saying, I see you, I know you, and I will hold you in this pain. So this morning, as we take time to honour and to celebrate mothers, motherhood, spiritual figures, spiritual mums, I like to say mamahood for myself, we also want to create space to say for other women who, for this day, it's tricky. We love you. We see you. We are here for you. And we just really want you to know that. Well, this morning, they've been sitting here so patiently while I've rambled on. But these phenomenal women beside me are part of our Life Women. And they're going to be sharing how they were inspired by biblical characters or scripture that has inspired them in their role as a mother. So I'm going to introduce them from here to here, but they all know when they'll talk. So this is Purity. She'll tell her story in just a moment. This is Sandy, and this is also Shona. So give them a hand. They're going to be amazing. And so I'm so looking forward to these next moments as we glean from these women's lessons as they share from their hearts, their stories, their experiences, their challenges, which we all have, and around how people in the Word have impacted them in their role as a mother. So this morning, I'd like to invite Sandy to start.
Thank you, Katie. Probably if we can have the picture of my family up straight away. So I'm here as a mum to Philip, who was married to Tara, and they have three children. I have Amanda with one boy, and then David, who's married to Holly and has the four girls. I don't really have the cheer squad in the front row today. I do have one little person over there. The rest are up in kids' life or doing various other things. I'm not really going to give you any of the dirt on what it was like raising my family or what it is or what it is to help with raising the next generation. But I just wanted to talk about a woman who over the years has just inspired me when I face different things, and that's Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary was an ordinary, everyday woman, probably come from a poor family. She wasn't royalty. She wasn't highly educated or an elite person. However, she became the most important woman for us as she birthed the Son of God. She obviously had a very close relationship with God. She must have been totally tuned into him and willing to do anything for him. Because when the angel told Mary she would carry a child, how did she respond to this? Pregnant before marriage? Can you imagine the whispers, the judgment, what her family, what her girlfriend said? We are told that Mary was greatly troubled, thoroughly shaken and questioned in Luke 1. But Mary then remembers who she belongs to. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. But I also want to give a shout out to Joseph just here. He must have been really tuned into God too, because he didn't turn his back on Mary. He too had a heart for God. Now, pregnancy. It can be difficult for many, and giving birth in a hospital can even have its problems. But here we have Mary, who travelled by foot and maybe on a donkey for some of it, in the very late stages of pregnancy. We're talking for about 160 kilometres. For those of you who do the trip to Sydney regularly, that's to Sutton Forest. And then when she gets there, Joseph hadn't booked a hotel. No four-star, not even a two-star, but it was a stable. And then Mary goes into labour, and there's no doctor, there's no nurse, there's no gas, there's no drugs. We're not told what Mary's response was, but I'm pretty sure what mine would have been. Was she disappointed, worried, annoyed, blamed Joseph for everything? But appears not. And why? Her faith and her obedience is that centred her on God. She holds on to the words of the angels in her heart and trusts. Now moving on, can you imagine what it was like being the mother of Jesus? The child with no sin, no tantrums, no untidy room, no sass, no arguments. We do believe Mary had other children. Can you imagine how they related to Jesus? The quarrels, anything to get him into trouble? But no, Jesus would have refused. And I'm sure there would have been many claims of favouritism. Have you ever heard that in your household? And Mary, I'm sure she was still plagued with thoughts and doubts. Is this real? Jesus, really, the chosen one? Why me? capturing her thoughts to God would have been something she had to do daily. We then have the account of Jesus at 12. The family goes on a road trip to Jerusalem for the Passover. It's several days of travel, and they probably were with a group of family and friends, a bit like the Westons and the Andersons heading off. Once they've participated in the festivities, they head home. It takes them 2 days to realise Jesus isn't with them or with their companions. What? 2 days? How Mary and Joseph must have blamed themselves, feeling that they were so wrapped up in what they were doing that they didn't realise he was missing. Have you lost a child? I have. In what was at the time the largest shopping centre in the Southern Hemisphere. Admittedly, she was only 2.5, which heightened the panic, but it was real. It takes Mary and Joseph 3 days to find him. And where? Not hiding in the clothing racks or at the lolly counter, but in the temple. Mary was relieved, but still pretty stressed, and says, "Why have you done this to us?" Yes, that's how I would have reacted. "Why did you do that?" And Jesus responds, "Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" There's not much further account here of how Mary responded, but we are told in Luke 2:51 that they went back to Nazareth and Jesus continued to be obedient. I want to jump now finally to Jesus and the disciples attending the wedding, and Mary was there too. The wedding ran out of wine. What? Deb? Ben, watch out. Can you imagine the indignation of the guests? Mary became aware of this and immediately knew the solution. She was totally confident that Jesus could solve the problem and tells the servants to do as he says. She doesn't even ask Jesus. Jesus does give his mother a bit of rebuke. Ever had that happen to you? But proceeds to organise an abundance of exquisite wine, his first miracle. So how have these Mary moments impacted me? One, it tells me that God values women. He used one, Mary, to bring the greatest gift to the world. It speaks of how God uses anyone, not just the special gifted people. It reminds me that I am his and I'm to be ready to serve, that I need an intimate closeness with God to be able to totally trust him. Mary's faith in God and obedience to him centres her. May my focus on God be on God rather than all the things that threaten to drown and overcome me. Our children are a gift, not to hold, but to offer back to God, just as Mary did with Jesus. He knows what's best for them and best for us. He asks us to love them, guide them to Jesus, and give rise to them, and then let them soar in Deuteronomy 6. Like Mary, we can know, trust, and believe that the course we've helped set for our children will end in victory. God holds them. He loves them. He makes a way even when there seems to be no way.
Hi. When I was asked, I instantly thought of Hannah, which probably sounds a bit funny as I have 9 children. And then you don't think of Hannah when you think of 9 children. Hannah persevered. She persevered not being affected by those around her. She wasn't worried about people's thoughts. She showed abandonment in seeking the Lord for the desires of her heart, which were children. She sacrificed, physically giving back her child to the Lord. Although continuing to care and provide for that child, so she released Samuel into God's care, but stayed connected, took him clothes each year, visited, was invested, It's hard as a parent to give your child back to the Lord. As a mum, especially me, it's easy to try to fix things in my strength, the way I think they need to be fixed. There has been times when all hope has seemed lost, when we had to give our gift back, like Hannah did, and rest in the assurance that God had it under control. We walked through a long time of a broken relationship with one of our children. We walked through major health issues with another and learning difficulties surfacing with another. In these times, when we realised that prayer was the only thing to do, it was hard praying and continuing to hand over our children to the Lord. With 9 children, there is always something going on. Small or large, always something going on in our household. Sometimes in the moment of trial, prayer feels like it is not enough at all. Although it is. When looking back, not in the moment, when looking back, you can see God's hand. I can see God's hand. Even in the times of little hope. And we're continuing to learn, me and Richard, that we need to hand our children over to him in the small and the big events, relying on his wisdom and his grace and his love. Through perseverance, seeking the Lord, sacrificing control, that's very big for me, sacrificing control, we have restored relationship with our child, which is miraculous. We had peace when we shouldn't have peace, have had that peace in the health issues. And we continue to hand the little things and the big things back to the Lord. I am very blessed to have been given the privilege of being a mum. And my children are a gift. It is a joy to see them love the Lord and grow in their relationship with him. And they are a blessing even when you don't see that. And in the trial, it is still a blessing to have our children. And that's what Hannah reminds me. Hannah reminds me of what a gift my children are. And they're a gift. They're not something that, is mine. It's the Lord's gift for me. So, thanks.
Good morning, church. My name is Purity, and I've called Life UC my church since 2011. I have 2 remarkable kids, as you can see on the screen behind me. Ian, who is in the audience today, is turning 13 in July, and I've got a little girl, and she's turning 10 next month. I'm so grateful to have these remarkable children and the opportunity to care for them. I was born and raised in Kenya, and even though I tried to raise my children as I was raised, I have to be mindful that the environment and the culture is very different here in Australia, as you can imagine. So being far from the village that raised me, I have built a village around my kids. I know that I cannot do it all on my own, as other women have mentioned. And so I've surrounded my kids with strong, faith-filled people, just like Proverbs 27:17 says, that iron sharpens iron. The person that came to mind when I was asked to speak was Paul. I find his role in the building of the church to be fascinating. He was and continues to be such an influential person in the building of the church. And Paul's faith never wavered, even when he was going through incredibly difficult situations and seasons. Instead, he trusted God. Paul's teachings and life inspire me in my parenting journey. In this world, there's so many things that influence our children, which can turn them from the loving embrace of God. There's so many things that make me anxious as a parent, be it social media, you know how that is, gaming, the school environments, to name but a few. I know I can't control what happens to my children or what they experience. I am learning to trust in God, just like Paul did. I'm learning to trust in God for different aspects of my children's lives and to come to Him in prayer, handing over my anxious thoughts and worries. I'm learning to let go, even as my kids grow and grow more independent of me. It's not easy at all. I'm being stretched every day and challenged on the daily. Paul was continually tested as he worked to spread the gospel. He went through unimaginable trials and tribulations and suffered greatly for his beliefs, and yet he trusted in God. He was persistent in his calling and drew strength from God. When I feel my strength is inadequate as a mother, I turn to Corinthians 2, verse 12. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. For me, being a mother is a privilege. However, there isn't a manual to refer to. The advice that I read or hear through sermons or podcasts oftentimes doesn't come back at that moment when I'm correcting and disciplining my children. What follows is shame after I've lost my temper or overreacted and spoken unkindly. When I get exasperated with my kids, Paul teaches me to be gentle. In Galatians 6, verse 1, he writes, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." The fruits of the Spirit are on the fridge in my house. They are there as a daily reminder of our core values as a family. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul attributed his successes to the grace of God, not his own strength, skills, or intelligence. He used what he had to spread the gospel and to teach different communities. I am using what I have, trusting in God and turning to Him in prayer and finding guidance in the Bible. My grandmother played a significant part in my life. I wouldn't be where I am today without her fervent prayers and encouragement. I am so grateful for her life and the influence she had over me. I also draw strength and courage from the strong, faith-filled women close to me. So I'll finish with the following verse as an encouragement to you in your parenting journey. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's from Isaiah 41, verse 10. Thank you.
Yes, let's give them a bigger hand. They are amazing, and we are so grateful for the insights that they have brought this morning. Okay, no lie, my foot fell asleep during that. I just need to stretch it before we keep going. You guys were so amazing. Thank you so much for all that you prepared and all that you shared, and just your vulnerability around what motherhood is like. And yeah, it's phenomenal. And I'm just gonna get comfortable. Yeah, there we go. Good to go. I'm just so grateful. Thank you, Shona. Thank you, Sandy. And thank you, Purity. It's just, yeah, phenomenal. And I had the privilege to have a read through some of their notes before just to learn and listen, even myself. Like, this wasn't for us, we're just going to go and talk. There's learnings in this, you know. They probably had reflection moments as they were writing, like, oh, wow, this is something that I could adjust, or this is something that I could align. Or, and as I read through their notes, like, I learned so much too. So thank you for taking the time and for sharing. And as they delved in all the different stories from Mary to Hannah to Paul today, they uncovered the most invaluable lessons that really does reach across multi-generations, giving us advice how to nurture our faith, giving us advice and encouragement to cling to resistance and to get some grit into our faith so that we can do our role as mum or your role as someone important in your world really well, but also to remember to have or learn from the Holy Spirit with the fruits of the Spirit, to have this type of trusting and an unconditional love towards the people that we get to steward, because they're not ours, they're Jesus's, and we get them for a short period of time to guide them as best as possible to a loving Father. I love that every story that we've heard today just reminds us that every woman or every individual that has walked with God has an amazing story. Sandy shared about Mary, the mother of Mary, and Mary will tell you that God specializes in things thought impossible that only He can do. And Sandy, like Mary, which is, I think, every person in this room needs to be reminded that God will use anyone. He uses anyone and everyone. She shared around just an assurance that Mary had that she was His, that she belonged to God. And I guess I only have an understanding of this time in history and my experiences. And I'm not quite sure around the context of, you know, her environment and her community, but there was something in her walk with God that she had this assurance that she was God's. And she was so willing to serve Him and have a posture of service towards her Father God as a parent. Sandy also shared around the importance of remaining close to God. So for us to be able to trust Father God, we have to remain close to Him. We need to know His voice, His guiding, His leading, and that comes from remaining close, abiding, and just leaning into Him. And that God values women so much so that He used an incredible young woman to gift the world His Son Jesus. And I love this point too, that our faith will center us in His will. Our faith will center us in His will, but that comes from us obeying Him, just like Mary did. Even though we don't see the other side, God is always at work. And I love what Shona shared around Hannah. And Hannah tells us that God answers prayers. Usually I found never on my timing. I don't know about you. Sometimes it feels like our times aren't quite aligned. I pray, I wait. It doesn't happen all the time. But He is faithful. His timing, He's outside time. He's outside the concept of time. And He knows the big picture and He has the best plan. So I love that story around Hannah, and particularly how Shona shared around Hannah's perseverance in regards to the joys of parenting children. Her nine children. Her nine amazing children. But the joys of parenting, and also I think in particular that I drew out from what she shared, was that we can't take on as individuals what other people think about us or what other people have a perception of us. We have to cling hold tight to what the Word of God says, stand firm to our values, and know that we're walking the path specifically that God has for us. And she also spoke about how Hannah inspired her to be sacrificial in giving these gifts that God gave her, gifts of children, that they're not hers, they're not ours, they belong to Father God. We steward them for such a time as this. We do our best, the highs and lows, the challenges, the disobedience, the consequences, the mess, all that sort of stuff. The real stuff that happens behind the scenes when we haven't like prepped ourselves to come up here and done our hair and all that sort of stuff. The real stuff that happens in homes. We are fully trusting that God is in it. He's in every circumstance. He's in every challenge and every situation. And that as we continue to trust Him and give Him, give them back to Him, not like take them, they're horrible, but like you're in this, Father God. I believe and stand on your word that your promises are true. Thank you so much for sharing. And Purity, I love how she shared from Paul. And Paul, his stories and his challenges and particularly his environment would have given him the reason to just give it up. His circumstances are quite challenging. If you haven't read through the stories of Paul, I would encourage you to do so. But instead, his faith in Jesus didn't waver. And he had a firm trust that Jesus was his saviour and that that Father God was good. And so Purity shared that she had similar things to Paul in regards to inadequacy. Hello, I think we all have that, all of us, whether you're a mother, whether you're a parent, whether you are, wherever God has placed you in the role and the calling that he has for you, sometimes we all feel like we might have, imposter syndrome, and that we're inadequate and, you know, there's a lingo that's like, fake it till you make it. That kind of works sometimes, but instead, how about we realign that we get our value straight from heaven, regardless of the title or the role or the weight or the burden that sometimes we may feel, and trust that God has equipped and graced us, if he's given you someone to look after, a little person or a big person or a young adult person, that he has graced you for this. And Purity also mentioned, which I really love, to continue to look to the Word. If you haven't done it and you need it, get the fruit of the Spirit on your fridge, put it everywhere so you can see it. It's not just for our kids, it's also for us to be reminded that love is patient, love is kind, and that the words and the actions that we show and as an example to our kids are hopefully more and more, we're not perfect, but more and more aligning to someone who has the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. So thank you, amazing women, for sharing. As I was listening today to their testimonies, I know I said this before, but I was just reminded that every woman and every individual who has walked with God has a story. And we learnt this morning around Mary, Mother Mary, that's not the right word. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a sacrificial and trusting love. And Hannah, she had a persevering and sacrificial love. And Paul, he had a steadfast and discerning faith. And I don't know about you, but even just in these last moments, as these women have shared, we are able to draw from their lessons and examples and encouragement from their experiences to find strength and solace and just insights into how we can, in our own relationships, whether it's parent and child, whether it is whatever complexities that we might have in our extended families or even like our work dynamics, there is so much truth, so much gold, so much wisdom, so much insight that can be found in the examples that are given in the Bible. But sometimes I look at them and I'm like, it's not just the examples that they're there for us. It's the reminder that God is behind the scenes working through these people, even though they might not see what he's up to, that he is definitely up to something. Yeah? I love that the women that they shared, not just the women, the people, the individuals that they shared from the Bible, they're not just from like some fictitious romance novel or anything like that. They're real people with real stories and stories that we can all probably relate to in some regard. These stories showcase diverse experiences, not just these three stories, but the countless examples of biblical people in the Bible, their experiences, their challenges. And when they encountered Jesus, when they encountered Father God, there was this transaction of forgiveness and that he equipped them and enabled them for what he had called them to do and to be. It's a testimony of change and a testimony of redemption and something that we all need. I know that I do. I love the stories that they shared today because they shared from people who were not just historical figures, but they also played a significant part in the foundation of our faith. For the women that we talked about, there are other names like Rahab, Ruth, Naomi, Esther, Hannah, Deborah, and Mary, multiple Marys in the Bible. And they all played a significant part of a redemption story. The thing that stands out to me most, particularly around the women, like the men, they have their own stories and own journeys with God. But the thing that stood out to me about when I look at the women in the Bible, there's this different encounter that God has with them. And the encounter I have interpreted, hopefully I've got this right, Pastor Sean, I've interpreted that, you know, we read the Bible and it's, You know, there's this God who can be far off and holy, but sometimes in some of the stories, it can seem distant. But when he comes to the women, it's so close and so personal and so intimate, still holy, but he wants to come and be in part of our stories. God is personal and he is here, and he's even here today. You know, as you sit amongst whoever you're sitting next to, he is here in this room. He is here when we gather, and he, if we allow him to, wants to be a part of the story that of our lives, and he wants us for that to happen. We need to invite him to be a part of the story in our lives.